Hello everyone. Welcome back to our weekly tech show. So my name is Roger and here is my awesome co-host Tracy.
Hi everyone, I'm Tracy. I think it's monthly tech show, not weekly.
Monthly. Sort of, yeah, I guess we record monthly but being releasing it like every 1 or 2 weeks. So yeah. So now I guess everyone knows how the sausage is made here. So we'll do the formal recording here. So as usual, we've accumulated a list of important tech news, or at least tech news that we thought are interesting to talk about. And I've done a little bit of prepping. I just try to group them by similar topics so we can kind of talk in like sections. So yeah, let's start with probably like one of the most like trending topic on the internet, or at least on the Chinese internet, the release of the Xiaomi electric vehicles. This news is provided by Tracy, so would you mind maybe just share some details first?
So based on my understanding, Xiaomi released their first electrical vehicle, and the price is astonishing. And they also have all kinds of colors, so it seems it's a good deal. I really like those colors, and especially they look like luxury cars. So I imagine if I'm in China and I have a Xiaomi phone, perhaps I would consider buying a Xiaomi EV. So it's fully connected now. Perhaps I also have Xiaomi smart home. So what do you think? Have you seen what their cars look like?
Yes, I know like a lot of people, well, that probably also includes me, know they look like very similar to a Porsche. I'm actually going through my photo album now. I took a picture of a Porsche EV advertisement in Washington, D.C. Yeah, I think Porsche is probably one of the few like active players in EV right now, like outside the whole like China market. So I know this is a pretty big deal for Xiaomi and also most of the major tech companies, because Tracy, you probably also heard about this, that Apple, as you know, once the largest company in the world, still now one of the largest, just gave up on their EV project very recently. I think it cost them like billions of dollars and probably thousands of employees just to get their so-called like Project Titan started. Yeah, just to share some of my thoughts on the Apple like stopping their EV project. I think they've probably been like too ambitious on building their EV product. I think their ideal product would be like a car without steering wheel, probably even without any like gas or brake pedals. So the whole thing will be, I don't know what the exact like user experience will be, probably either through like, you know, the similar like voice and eye contact, like, you know, the Vision Pro. You know, it's
Oh,
already
that's
hard, yeah,
crazy.
hard
Yeah,
enough for the Vision Pro. It took like them years, probably even hard for a EV, because that also, you know, need to consider driver and passenger and also pedestrian safeties into consideration. So yeah, so Xiaomi like actually shipping a real EV is pretty impressive. I don't know what your thoughts on Xiaomi, Apple, or other like EV players.
I feel I really want to minimize the number of brands I have. So if I have a MacBook, an iPad, then I want to have an iPhone. And that being said, if Apple has a car, I think I'm very likely to buy that. So I don't understand why they kill the project. And I remember like 2 years ago when I was in Cupertino, I had lunch with an Apple employee, and I asked him about what do you think about the Apple car. And he said, "I'm worried that perhaps we will not be able to finish the project because the car is too complex, and Apple's standards are too high." So, although he does not work on the car project, but I think he has legitimate concerns, and after 2 years, the project is canceled, feel pretty sad. Because in the future, if I stay in the US, perhaps I'm going to buy a Tesla. But Tesla does not connect to any of my other devices. So I feel, yeah, it's not fully connected.
Yeah, I know it's kind of weird. I know like most people buying Tesla, they are getting like a smartphone holder immediately for the Tesla so they can put their iPhone or Android like right next to the screen. Yeah, I have a pretty old like Honda. Well, that thing doesn't connect to anything except like Bluetooth, but that's expected. Yeah, I think Tesla like not working well with like tech integration is kind of surprising to most people.
But I also heard Tesla is a robotics company, so if it has a humanoid robot, perhaps it will be a device I have besides the car.
Yeah, true. Yeah, just to, I guess, wrap up this story and add some fun here. So, oh, I guess this is blurred, but I will send the image later. So this is a Porsche Taycan. They are EV cars, so it starts at 90,000, so almost like double or three times the Tesla or the Xiaomi EV here. So their ad reads, Porsche is to electric cars what hot sauce is to ketchup. I don't know who they are referring to as ketchup of EV, probably everyone else. But yeah, I think for luxury brands, if you can make like a exciting electric vehicles, you can probably still do well in the new EV industry.
Yeah, it's a symbol of status. So I think rich people will definitely buy that.
True. All right. So next story is about a flexible screen, I believe. Well, I haven't used any like flexible screen devices. So I believe this is about a downturn of a flexible unicorn, right?
Yeah, perhaps bankruptcy. Not just downturn.
Wow.
Yeah, so I also start to think about where should we use flexible screens as flexible electronics. So we've seen those foldable screens of Samsung, but have you ever seen anyone purchase such a phone? I think I've only seen one person in real life has a foldable phone.
Oh, yeah. I think I have like different experience from you, but only because like the city or the county I live in is kind of like a Korean town near Washington DC. It's called Annandale. I think it's where most like Korean people live, so you know, as Korean people, they pretty much by default support Samsung. So trying to think, probably I will see someone using a flexible or like a folding flipping Samsung phone at least 3 or 4 times a week. So that's pretty common.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty frequent.
Yeah. I guess if we go back to China, we'll probably see like plenty of people using flexible, because I know Vivo, Oppo, including the Xiaomi we just talked about, and Huawei, Honor. I think all these major players except Apple are making flexible screen phones. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so even foldable phones, they have limited flexibility. You can only like fold the phone in a certain angle. So I wonder, like, are there any other usage scenarios in real life that we want to fold a screen? I think I've seen a report at CES that you can fold a TV. But why do you want to fold a TV like a yoga mat? That's so bizarre.
Yeah, I think I recall what you mentioned is probably, yeah, by all the major TV players. I think Lenovo is also the one of the big PC manufacturers that's pretty big on pushing flexible screens. Yeah, to be honest with you, I think I agree with you. Like, once you have a larger enough screen, that means like you probably already had, you know, enough space to host that thing. So I think simply folding or rolling it, you can probably reduce the volume by a little bit or much, but it's still like a big thing. It just, yeah, doesn't make much sense. Like one reason I could think of is maybe being more flexible means the screen is also more like resistant to like scratch or shock. I'm not a material scientist, so I'm just making that guess. I don't know what you think about it.
Okay, I see. So you mean like instead of having screen protections, if we can make the screen more robust? it will also be a nice feature that consumers will pay for.
Yeah, it's probably the case.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I've seen a GIF or the meme. You probably also seen like a person like punching through like a computer display screen. Yeah, imagine like we have more flexible screens. That probably won't happen anymore. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so that brings us to the last story of the Chinese tech section here. So this story is collected by me. So yeah, I've been recently discovering some amazing new podcasts. One of them is hosted by the CEO of the Norwegian Sovereign Wealth Fund. I believe they are the largest wealth fund, I think probably even bigger than all the like Middle Eastern ones. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the numbers I got here is they manage about $1.6 trillion, and the 2023 profit is about $200 billion. So divided by the Norwegian population of a little bit over 5 million people. Because you know this is basically their pension fund, so it is shared by every Norwegian. So each person gets about like $300,000 of.
Wow, that's crazy! Wow.
Yeah, I've also done some simple math. Like it's pretty much impossible for any like country with a population of over 100 million to do similar things. Because right now, I think this wealth fund they own about over 1% of every listed public company in the world.
Wow.
So yeah, if you scale that by the population, like if you have a country of over 100 million population, you would have to own like over 10% of every company. That's just impossible to do, I guess, in the public world.
Yeah.
And
wow.
I guess if you are China or India, you have to like buy the same company like 400%, so like four times back and forth. So that's like, I guess, physically impossible. So.
Do you know what do they invest in? Just technology companies or all kinds of companies?
Pretty much like every single company listed. So for example, this podcast, the latest episode, they interviewed Alibaba.
Okay.
They own like close to 2%. They also own like probably 2% of Tencent, 1 or 2% of Microsoft, pretty much all the technology companies.
But they are not early investors, right? They only invest after it becomes public.
I believe, yeah, their major investments are all in like secondary markets, so they buy like public shares, but they probably did a little bit of like early stage as well, but yeah, mostly are in like public shares, yeah.
Well, in that case, perhaps they even lost money in Alibaba.
That's true. Yeah, I can definitely like agree with you on that, because in the latest episode of podcast, the CEO seems like he asked a few harsh questions on the new Alibaba president. He's new president, but he was the co-founder and the number two of Alibaba, Zhou Tai. You probably heard about him. He's also the owner of Brooklyn Nets. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so quick like 30-second summary of what Alibaba's new direction is. They are basically trying to trim down all of their like peripheral business, like the Chinese version of Whole Foods and some other like entertainment, or basically everything that's not closely related to their original Taobao and Tmall e-commerce business. They're going to focus back on their original roots, hopefully trying to turn that into a larger market share, because their market share has been cut by mostly by like Pinduoduo in the last 2 or 3 years.
Wow, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, so yeah, that's just something I found interesting, and yeah, I will share the link of podcast later. They basically interviewed every famous like tech person you can think of, like Jensen Huang from NVIDIA, Sam Altman, CEOs of Microsoft, and even some more traditional companies like Adidas or the major banks. So definitely worth listening. Yeah,
it's just because they are big stockholders.
Mm-hmm.
So they can easily invite the CEOs of those companies to chat with them.
True, true. And, okay. And they ask like really harsh questions because they care about their, you know, stock values a lot. Yeah.
Okay.